The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX Radio. I'm Jen Cease, and I'll be your host for this one-hour special edition of the City Spotlight here on KMOX. Kyle Sixta is here next to me on the controls, and we have a lot to get to because it is City's last game coming up this weekend. Of course, we know already that City is not in playoff contention, but they have gotten 10 points since the beginning of September, their last five games with 9 goals scored. So David Critchley, interim head coach, has definitely turned the ship. Not enough time, of course, to make the playoffs, as they will be having their last game this weekend hosting Real Salt Lake at Energizer Park. Pre-game on our sister station, Y98, will start at 7:30 p.m. And although the MLS published 8 p.m. kickoff time, I hear it's going to be closer to 8:15. But all games in the MLS will kick off at that time, as it is decision day for many other teams in the MLS. Now, City did have a press conference today where David Critchley and Roman Berkey spoke to the media, but I want to go ahead and play some audio from the Tuesday press conference where we kind of get to meet with them off just right after the training. It's really a little bit more intimate. We get a little bit more detail on some of the questions, and really none of it is different so much as more information maybe than it was from today's press conference with David Critchley and Roman Berkey. So the first one I want to talk about is David Critchley talking a little bit about going in the right direction, of course, for the team, that they're doing a lot of really good things, but of course there is only one gate left, so it's not enough time.
Look, we're in a point now where if we had 5, 6, 7, 8 games left, we'd be very excited for the season. We had a film session today and I told the group it was probably the easiest day for me as a coach to go back and watch that game and bring forth 3 or 4 really key moments for RSL, because we were really good in a low block and then transitioning to their goal quickly. We could have scored a few more goals. We were really good at pressing the opponent high up the field. We scored 2 goals from pressing actions, and we were really good in the on the ball, getting it up the field and getting it into the 18-yard box. So it's very clear to me that this group is going in a great direction. Yeah, we just wish we had more games left to play, but unfortunately, we only have the one left.
Yeah, unfortunately, and he's exactly right. A lot went right in the Austin game and has been going, except maybe that a game against LAFC that the team really just did not play at home like they usually play. But things have been going in the right direction, and one of those things that David Critchley has been working on with the team is those elements of the pressing style. So taking that pressing style from the first year of St. Louis City, tweaking it a bit, upgrading it, and making sure it has more success.
For me, it's principles or concepts, non-negotiables. There's a couple of words out there that you use. That, for me, overrides the tactics and maybe the week-by-week structure. It's more the behaviours that I'm looking for. So when we press, we have to close down space super aggressively. It's when we press and the press is broken, we see guys now sprinting back on defence, getting back behind the ball. Then within that, you find, I call them pressing triggers. So then within each opponent, it might be, hey, if the left centre-back plays the left-back, that's the trigger. Or, hey, they're sixers, they fumble the ball at times, let's press the sixers. So I find the little details, but the behaviours has been the biggest increase in them. But then you also tack that along with, we're fitter as a team, we're sharper as a team. We have less injuries, so we have more consistency with the lineup and the messaging as a team. So everything is helping towards this final stretch.
Yeah, the final stretch, of course, being this last game against Real Salt Lake. And David Critchley gave a little preview as to how the team is going to approach their final opponent.
The key for that is to have emotion and connect with ourselves, with each other, with the fan base, with everybody, but don't let the emotion override the situation. So we still want to remain very, very focused in how we play. You know, RSL will be coming in all guns blazing. They need to win this football game. We're not going to sit back and absorb pressure anymore. We're going to get after them ourselves. We're going to try and win the football game. That's not to say you won't see us in a low block. We might be defending our own half, but what you will see is when we win it, guys will fly forward and try to score a second goal, a third goal, a fourth goal, like you saw in Austin. Good emotional connection is needed, but let's not go over the top and become reckless, I think is the word I would use there.
Yeah, of course, that too. And having a little bit perspective on the season. So we did ask David Critchley to not only look forward, but to take a little bit of a look back on his time on the season as a whole. And of course, when he took over with the team in May.
The one thing that I've been very proud of and happy with is we didn't just need to fix results on the weekend on the field. There was so much when I stepped in the late May that needed to be fixed in this club. The expectations and standards and culture took a lot of time and a lot of my attention and focus to get it right. We're getting it right now. So then what you see is weekend results starting to follow. You know, my objective for many weeks and many months was to get Monday to Friday correct. Saturday took time. but we're getting there, and I think we see it as of late. The biggest takeaway is the growth that we've had on and off the field, I think. Off the field, culturally, standards, expectations. On the field, we performed well, in my opinion, for many games, but now we're getting results as well.
Yeah, getting results, and he's exactly right. At least what I've been able to see at training sessions and the couple times we're able to go for media as the week, we did see, of course, a different kind of style under Olaf Melberg, different kind of synergy with the team. And then, of course, David Critchley had to put things kind of back together again a couple of times, really, not only with the loss of Olaf Melberg, but this Lynn Lutz Spanish deal, which definitely affected some players, but making sure that what was running together on the pitch also translated off the pitch and back and forth. So he was really working on things like culture and boundaries and how you train intensely but not cross a line, and hoping that that translates into games, which it certainly has. Now, of course, David Critchley talking a little bit about how things are going well, but he does admit that there were a lot of missed opportunities that the team is going to need to work on for a successful 2026 season.
A lot of missed opportunities this year. We'll learn from them. We'll grow from them. You know, Austin just beat LAFC on the weekend. You see that anyone can beat anyone in this league. Look, the bottom line is we left too many situations out there where we could have done better and got more points. I will make sure the team hears a lot of next year is how do we be more ruthless in taking leads and not letting them slip. Some of the situations were out of our control this year, but not many. So we just have to keep improving and keep growing as a club. I've spoke about the growth and the direction we're going in, but for me and my standards, we're nowhere near the level still of where we will be come next year. So there's still a lot to grow and a lot to get better at.
So, of course, David Critchley, I think there was a little more to that statement of not just him looking forward to the next season, saying us for the team, but hopefully, I'm sure, making the case for himself in being that person that can take what he's done starting in May, turning the ship and then keeping the ship going and doing what they want to do as a team and building in that momentum. David Critchley has talked more than once about not having and really not being good enough to take a team over in the middle of the season, that you need preseason to create that culture, that strategy, those I think he refers to it as not having the distractions of games that you do have in the middle of a season when you take over. So David Critchley certainly making a case for himself, and he's not the only one. Players themselves, Marcel Hartl is going to be somebody we hear from at the bottom of the hour. He's our player profile, specifically has called out the fact that David Critchley should stay, keep that continuity of the team. And of course, David Critchley appreciates that support from his players.
Gives me great excitement and honour to know that the players are vocally speaking that they'd love for me to step in and take the group next year. I pride myself on a coach that knows the tactics, knows systems, but I like to be a man manager. I like to build relationships with the players. I actually just read a quote from the owner of Chick-fil-A. Long story short, I was meeting with Pochettino, and he said a quote something like, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast." I try to build the right culture. I try to get the right people in the right positions on the bus, as you would say so. And then from there, build a strategy, build processes. But I think the culture piece has grown tremendously from when I stepped into where it's at today. We're finding small wins all the time from these players. I think they feel it.
Yeah, I think they do too. They certainly have, again, spoken out about it. They have, I can see it. I feel like I can see it in the training. I feel like it's translating to the pitch as well. But really, David Critchley, of course, he has the pedigree to take the game to the next level in terms of X's and O's and strategy and things like that. But creating that culture, you have to have a locker room. You have to have guys that get along on and off the pitch and perhaps even bond together. We've known that some of the City 2 success, Mekhi Joyner has talked in a previous player profile about how successful some of that is because they do simple things like putting their phones down and they talk to one another. They spend time together, not only on the pitch, but off the pitch. But David Critchley trying to do that as well for the first team. With all of that in mind, we'll get to reflect a bit more on all of what David Critchley just said and preview City's last match with Dale Shilley. He's our St. Louis City Academy director. He is the assistant coach for City 2, and he's our game analyst on Y98. Dale's up next on KMOX.
We have a plan right now, let's call it plan A, of where these guys will train, where they'll play the weekend. So we just talk every day, me and Hack, make sure we have a plan for every single day, every single training session. It'll be a balance. We still want to give young players the opportunity to play in that stadium on Saturday night, but be mindful that they have a big game on Sunday. So I think you'll see some guys featuring in both, if I'm just going to give you the honest answer, yeah. The goal of the club every year is first team football. It's to get the right players in the first team. Now in this pivotal week leading into a playoff for them, we try to find a good balance with them, but the mission of the club will never go away from. It's about getting guys in first team football.
That was City interim head coach David Critchley talking with the media earlier this week, talking about City 2 and first team, because both have games this weekend. Not as much on the line for the first team, of course. They're not in the playoffs, but of course, a lot to play for in terms of pride, in terms of contracts, in terms of playing for their coach. And City 2, they've got their first game of the playoffs this weekend. And there is no one better than Dale Schilly to talk about this. He's our City director of Academy. He's also the City 2 assistant coach and does all our game analysis for the first team. Dale, I thought you'd be the first perfect person to talk a little bit about City really managing a really important weekend for both teams in different ways this weekend and managing the talent between the two.
Well, and the Academy has a double fixture.
So okay, everybody's games, busy.
Yeah, we got games Saturday and Sunday, and that's important because, you know, Critch alluded to what was going on daily and the meetings between Hack and Critch daily. Well, that's because we have to be able to man rosters on for training in preparation for the games. So Critch needs X amount of players for his training sessions. The second team looks to have X amount of players for their training sessions. The Academy, the 18 Academy, when we pull kids in from the 18s, or the 16s, which we pull them in to train as well with the second team, then that affects their numbers for practices. And then, Jen, when you add that the first team game is on a Saturday, the City 2 game is on a Sunday, and the Academy's first game of the weekend is on a Saturday, everybody's heavy days are on different days of the week. So you got to really watch how you utilize the players and keep them, you know, at the right loads for the right training loads, so you don't injure them by training them too hard, too close to match day.
Have you figured out how to clone yourself?
It is a juggling act.
Have you figured out how to clone yourself so you can be in all three places?
It is. It's a little bit crazy, but a lot of fun. And, you know, again, I think, you know, Critch is trying to figure out how do we get results for the first team, or get the result for the first team. You know, we want to play spoiler. We have a chance to spoil some fun for RSL, so let's do that. So you want the young guys around if they're going to contribute, but you also don't want to take away from the opportunity to play in a, you know, contribute 70, 80, 90 minutes in a two-team world if you're not going to use them for some minutes, some significant minutes in the first-team world. So, you know, 10 minutes, is that going to affect what they do the next day? I mean, when you start adding the warm-ups and that kind of stuff, it has some effect. It's a balancing act, a lot of communication, a lot of things to consider. But to be honest, it's one of the really fun, dynamic parts of the role that we play within the organization that we get to try to figure that out.
And of course, coming off the Austin win, that had to be a great trip for you and Joey Zanaboni. He'll be on the show a little bit later this hour. You guys had your first trip out there with the team in its inaugural year. Nice to get that win and some really good behaviors in terms of pressing triggers and all those things that David Critchley talked about in the first segment really happening for the team, and the promise of hopefully that also then translating to RSL this weekend.
Yeah, I thought the guys were good against Austin. You came away from it scratching your head a little bit going, Austin is going to, at that point, we weren't sure that they were going to make the playoffs. They eventually did. So they're in, and you're going, man, we are a better side than them. Now they were coming off a short week. They were, you know, had the disappointment of losing the Open Cup. So I get that part of it, but they just did not look sharp. They did not look inspired. They did not look like a playoff team. And that's been a number of teams that we've seen that have been in the playoff picture that we've seen here over the last month, where you feel like that we were the better side. Unfortunately, you know, we had the poor run of form for a long period and the rash of injuries that took us out of it. But, it's a head scratcher when you look to see who's above the line and that we're not.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, you talk about the fact that on any given day, a team may or may not be sharp. I would assume that RSL is going to come into St. Louis very sharp, very hungry, and looking to make a statement, even though it's not on their home turf.
Yeah, they have kind of changed their colors a little bit, the way they play. They're a little more attacking-minded now. You'll see them trying to play through teams a little bit more. You'll see them trying to combine to create chances inside the 18, whereas they were a little more open and free-flowing. Now they're a little shorter passing, a little more central, combination play at the top of the box as they try to penetrate and get in. They've changed their colors. They're a good team. They're well coached, have a, you know, good discipline about them. Diego Luna is a big personality. So he's somebody that will catch everybody's eye with the way that he impacts the game, his look, the way he gets around the field, the way he gets on the ball a lot. So they'll be a difficult team in a team that has changed the way they played over the course of the year.
You know, Dale, I don't know what you can and can't or willing to speak about. I'm sure you're just so busy, you probably don't have a lot of time to even think about it. But in the player profile that's coming up that we have with Marcel Hartl, he and I talked on Tuesday, he made a very open statement about two things that just really stuck with me. One, when I asked him who he's playing for, what he's playing for, he said the coach. And two, he informed me that they actually have training next week. So after Saturday, nobody's maybe, you know, getting on a plane and going places. They've got some training to do, which might possibly mean some city decisions maybe around the corner faster than we thought.
Yeah, I think it's an important part of what needs to happen for the team. They need to continue to train. I would probably suggest they take a few days off after RSL and then get back to it. I think the player union has a cutoff date at some point in November where they can't train beyond that date. But it's important to be able to have these guys in training, continue to watch and assess, and continue, you know, to develop and bridge that gap between the end of the year and the beginning of the year. You don't want a long off time. You don't want that. You want to be able to continue to train and keep the guys somewhat sharp so it's easier for them to get back when they come back in for preseason. But, yeah, it's important to have the guys around. The tough part is you have to have them all around. You can't have guys take off. You can't have one guy, can't give permission right for one guy to leave, because then everybody wants to leave. So it's a difficult thing to pull off, but it's an important one.
And last but not least, the first team is not the only one playing. As we talked about, City 2's playing. They certainly have, it seems like if there was a record to break, City 2 did it. And I just read in a press release, I think it was today or yesterday, that MLS Next Pro Best 11, Mekhi Joyner and Gabriel Makina are named among them. So City 2 certainly having themselves a time and get a chance to step out against Ventura County at home here at Energizer Park at 6 p.m. on Sunday. What are you looking for in that game?
Yeah, Ventura's very good. You know, it was one of those. I'm sure you're aware that MLS Next has a pick your team.
Right.
So the top seed got to pick their opponent. Well, I was nominated to pick the opponent, and we picked Ventura County, which was the eighth seed. So it was a traditional first seed versus eighth seed. But all eight teams in the playoffs are all good teams. They all have special qualities about them. I would say that our weapon is the camaraderie and the unity amongst the group. The players are very tight. It's a terrific locker room. They work really hard for each other. They're selfless in the way that they go about their business. And hopefully that culture and that unity helps pull the guys through a really good attacking Ventura County team.
Thanks, Dale. I will see you on Saturday at Energizer Park and maybe Sunday, too.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
That was Dale Schilly. He's our game analyst on Y98, City Academy Director and City 2 Assistant Coach. All things City with Dale Schilly, who just talked to us just now. Hang with us, though, on the City Spotlight. We will preview the Y98 pregame show player profile with City DP and midfielder Marcel Hartl. Cello is next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
I think with Marcel, the one thing that the team is doing is recognizing his biggest strengths as a player. How can we find him the ball in certain half spaces or behind, you know, the opponent's backs? So that's credit to the team. Always looking for him as a free player. He's a dangerous attacking player. He helps the team tremendously with the ball. For Marcel, whether he's in the left 10 or the central 10, he has a role and a responsibility that allows him to drift into different areas to help create overload or just find different spaces. He's starting to recognize them spaces much more effectively now as well. He's tremendously grown over the time I've stepped in and worked with him. And also the team around him is getting better. As everybody else around him is getting cleaner on the ball, sharper on the ball, you know, finding better efficiency with the ball. So it's a collective team improvement, but also finding his biggest strengths as well, I think, yeah.
Iowa City interim head coach David Critchley talking a little bit about Marcel Hartl, who happens to be our next pregame player profile. Cello, as many call him, has had an up and down kind of a season. He's had some changing roles with the team under Olaf Melberg. Then even David Critchley trying to figure out where best to utilize Cello, and certainly has had some good games since. Take a listen in to our next pregame player profile on Moy 98.
Listening to David Critchley talk last week, and specifically, he said about you, clinical in front of goal, aggressive closing space against the ball, and that you're something special in the final third, especially with, I think he said, 9 goals and 4 or 5 assists in the last few games. What has brought that Marcel magic back into your games towards the last end of the season?
He is a big part of it. Trusting me a lot. We have a lot of good conversations. He gave me that confidence I need to just play my game, to create something special in the game with the ball. But also I work for him, for the team, against the ball, to cover a lot of meters, to try to be strong as possible that we win the ball and in the end to create chances to win the games.
I remember looking at you in earlier games and you would have some of those same chances and not finish, and your hands would go to your head and you were frustrated with yourself. How has it changed? Like, is it a mental thing that's changed where you're finishing on those? I mean, I see you do it at practice all the time.
Yeah, it's also a practicing. I mean, we normally train once a week, like specific with the offense player, shooting drills, and this helps, of course, a lot to get confident for the weekend.
And you and I talked back in May. I listened back to what we were talking about, and one of the things that you were dealing with was changing your role on the team. Sometimes you were a 6, sometimes you were elsewhere, but it seems to be a little bit more consistent in what Critch wants you to do. Does that help you then to play a better game to game in the same kind of role?
Yeah, for sure. Then when I just play, let's say, 1-2 positions on the weekend, I can just stay focused on this 2 position that I can work, what I can do better in this position. If I have to change every week, every second week, every time my position that I play 6, left, right, 10, striker, then it's a bit tough to see where I can help the team. And I think now with this consistency on my position, this of course helps me and helps the team a lot.
I think I remember you saying if you knew you were playing the 6, you knew that if you were going to go up and try and score, you had to cover a lot of ground.
Yes, this is true. When I have to play a 6, I mean, I'm not the typical 6 who stay in front of our defense line. So I try to score every game. And also when I play 6, I told every time the coaches, of course, I play 6 as best as I can. But you have to understand that I will go forward. I will go in the box to try to create chances and score goals.
It's just in your makeup. Yes. That's who you are.
Yes, for sure.
When you think about it too, that consistency on the field, I don't remember which games, but Klaus had this amazing backheel flick. You were there. It was just this beautiful finish. And you and Klaus have combined for a number of things. Has that consistency too helped you and Klaus and others in the front line develop, where you kind of seem to know where each other is without even looking?
Yeah, that's true. This backheel was against Montreal.
Thank you.
yeah, me, Klausy, we understand this, I would say, yeah, blind on the field. We have a very good relationship on the field, off the field, and I think this helps a lot as well, that we trust each other. We are just looking for each other. I'm happy for Klausy if he scores. He's happy for me if I score. So this is a good basic we can build on, and yeah, I'm looking forward to work with him.
So if you had to pick one thing to do in the game over and over again, like, what's your favorite play? What's your favorite run? Where's your favorite place on the field? I've seen you score from the left, from the right, from out far. And you've roofed it a few times, too. It was really great. What's your favorite thing to do out there?
That's a good question. I would say, like, the goal from the outside, the 18-yard box, to make a step in the middle, to go on my strong foot on the right and try to hit the top corner.
Just kill it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. You know, Critch also talked a little bit about if there were more games in this final game coming up, that he would work on the team, just continuing the work on getting points on the road, scoring goals. He's talked specifically about limiting goals on set pieces and making sure you find your identity. Is that how you feel? If there were more games to do, is there something specific you'd want to focus on?
To win games. Of course.
Winning.
Yeah, just go straight like we do doing the last couple of 5-6 weeks now. In my opinion, we are looking very well with the ball, against the ball. We scored a lot of goals. We're not conceding that much goals anymore like we did in the beginning of the season. And we defend in the collective. It looks very good. We analyze every game from us. And yeah, the last 5-6 weeks, we just have to continue like to work in training like that, that we are good prepared for the weekend. And if we do work the same way, we can be successful for next year.
Well, let's talk about this weekend. I can't believe we're here. We're at the final game of the season. I think Critch put it like you either have nothing to play for because there's no playoffs, or you have everything to play for. What are you playing for on Saturday?
For the coach, to say it like directly, I play for him. I play for the staff that this club see that Critch is a good coach. What he was doing for us is such a good thing. He helped us out of a situation where we was in. With the ball, we create a lot of more chances like we did before against the ball. Yeah, we had in the beginning a little bit struggle also with him, but now we get there that we also are very good against the ball. So I play for him.
What's the perfect game on Saturday? What does that feel like? And St. Louis fans are going to come. It's our final game. Everybody's ready to come. What's that feeling like? What does it look like? How many goals do you score?
I mean, at first, we have to be ready. I told you, like, we have something to play for because we can't play for the coach, for this club. It's the last game for the fans, especially at home. Real Salt Lake is coming. They have something to play for the playoffs. So they will be motivated 100%, and we have to deal with that. So I hope we made the easy, clear win at home.
Yeah, I like that too. Last one. I know you guys don't like to think often past the next game, but I'll just ask you one question. What does life look like for you and your growing family when you get done with the game on Saturday? We'll probably do a press conference, and then what are you doing?
So we have training.
You have more training?
Yeah, okay. we have training at first. And in beginning of December, I fly with my family back to Germany for Christmas. And then we come back in the end of December. So we will be here for the celebration of the new year. And yeah, then just working for the preseason.
That was City midfielder and DP Marcel Hartl, also nicknamed Cello, talking with me earlier this week, talking a little bit about the season as a whole. And of course, his two biggest statements to me were the fact that this weekend we know that Cello is playing for Coach David Critchley, and they have practice next week. So nobody's going anywhere anytime soon. Stay right here. One more segment to go, and it's going to be with the voice of St. Louis City SC on Y98 Radio, Joey Zanaboni. Don't go anywhere. Joey Z is up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Good work together from Klaus and Pompeu out of the circle. Left side of the Austin box. Cross it.
Hartl
works to it. Right foot outside of the foot. And it's Cello once again, baby. It's the signature celebration.
That was play-by-play voice Joey Zanaboni on Y98 FM with the second goal call of City's win 3-1 over Austin in Austin. Joining me now is the man himself, Joey Z. How's it feel to hear your own call like that?
Jen F., great to be on with you here on KMOX. And, you know, it is that point in the season as we get down to the final game. You look back on moments like that, and there is a sweetness to them. There's something exciting about what this team is doing. And it's good to see it for the guys. Really just happy for the guys and hoping for a great one to finish the season on Saturday.
You know, it was really fun. I really enjoyed hearing the halftime interview where you and Dale Shilley talked to Santiago Beltran and Hector Vega on KXOK, the Spanish station, and just kind of talked about your three-year journey as being broadcasters for the first team here. And of course, you go down to Austin where City first started at all. What was that like for you and Dale and having that experience going back and getting the win in a struggling City season, of course, but reliving maybe some of those great memories?
Yeah, I think we talked about it on Y98, you and myself and Dale on a post-game show. There's something poignant about going back to the place where it all started, and it's such a great memory. And I won't lie. I can't lie. I do feel like that game in Austin on October 4th, in many ways, that closes a loop. It closes a circle. There's been talk about a City 2.0, and certainly with changes ahead on the horizon, the near-term horizon for this team, City 2.0 seems to be right on the cusp of our consciousness. So getting an opportunity to reflect on that with people who have become family to me, Dale, Santi, Hector Vega, yourself, and so many of the great people around the stations and with the team, there is a lot to be proud of. And I think that's something that's so important to keep in mind. Obviously, the last 2 years, the results just haven't been there. And there have been mistakes that have been made. There have been chances that I know we wish we could have converted or should have converted, you know, early in the season, finishing just out of the playoffs as we have. But there's a lot to be proud of. The soccer culture in the city has never been more vibrant. It's inclusive. It's welcoming. People take inspiration from it. They take heart from it. And we have some talent. We have talent on the field with players like Marcel Hartl stepping up late in the season, different guys. There's something here in an MLS. It can become very, very good very quick. We've seen as well that it can become a struggle very quick. And I'm optimistic and thankful, really, to get that chance to cover the team.
You know, Joe, you talked about some talented guys. One talented guy was at the press conference today, besides David Critchley. It was Roman Berkey, our first team goalkeeper, who he himself had a challenging year with his own injury. And he talked a little bit about, you know, how good a job David Critchley's done at continuing to change the culture. He said it wasn't where it needed to be yet. It's difficult to change the culture of the team in the middle of the season, but things were going in the right direction. And I wanted to ask you, from the number of times you've had to call Roman Berkey saves and the saves for savings with Together Credit Union, can you imagine, you've done it with Ben Lunt, of course, who stepped in, but can you really imagine another first string goalkeeper name that you would be calling if for some reason, unknown reason, we would not have Roman Berkey back after this season?
Hey, he's the best. He really is. And it's I believe, Marshall Faulk who said, the true measure of greatness isn't how good you are, it's how good you make the people around you. And to see him, you know, you mentioned Ben Lunt, to see how much better Ben has gotten over the last few years, just in working with Roman and stepping up during a part of the season that we played some good soccer. And I think back on that shutout that Lunt pitched against Vancouver, they're fighting for the number one seed in the West as we go into decision day. It's those kind of things, those kind of moments that make me thankful. And Roman has done things that have defied the imagination, watching his athleticism and watching his reactions, watching his distribution with his feet. It's artistry. And it's just something in St. Louis that we have this idea of that. We watch Albert Pujols hit a home run and we just know there's something more to it. And that's what Roman has. You know, I hope, as everybody does here in St. Louis, I hope he'll be back next season. I think he is, as he said, he's, you know, happy here. He's a guy who's loved St. Louis. And, you know, I think that's going to go a long way. Roman's somebody who wants to be part of a community, wants to build something special, and it's really a special experience to watch him.
This is probably a hard ask of you. Is there so far in three seasons a favorite call of yours? And it can be a Roman call. It can be a goal call. Can you think of one where you're like, if I could do that again, I'd do that again?
Well, I think the one I get on social media, I think it was a Berkey diving save. And I think it was absorbing things like a SpongeBob mascot during a boring Microsoft PowerPoint presentation. I believe that was how the call went. So I get a couple of messages on that. But, you know, it's cool to go back and be able to listen to them on shows like these. Just because I think when you're so in the moment, it's almost like you have to be on to the next play. It's special. It's special to go back once the season has ended and you know how things added up and totaled up. But, yeah, it's something that I've just embraced so much to get that opportunity. And now that we're 120 or so broadcasts into it, you know, I think I've just learned so much about the reach of it and the power of it and the responsibility of it and the fun of it and just the spirit of it and the goofiness of it and the moments and the people that make it special. So that's something that I'm just thankful for from the players like Berkey or broadcasters like yourself, Jen. It's just something I'm thankful for the opportunity.
Well, you can't let this weekend go without this interview go without you asking about, of course, a big weekend for City overall. You've got our last game here at Energizer Park for the first team on Saturday. City 2 just getting going with their playoff run. What are you looking forward to most this weekend? What can fans expect from you? I know you do a lot of stuff outside the stadium before you come running up to the booth to do our pregame show. What do you got cooking for us?
A fan appreciation night. You gotta break out all the stops here. Can't hold anything back now. It's something that really makes you think about all the people in the community, and you want to honor that. And that's always something that's special to me down at the stadium, is to go out for the supporters march. So I've got something big planned for that as we get ready about an hour before the game, and the supporters come in and bang the drums and things like that. And then as far as the City 2 game goes, which is 6 o'clock on Sunday, it's always the same thing. It's always seeing Dale coach, getting out there and watching Dale do his thing out there on the bench with Hack. Really cool what that team's done this year. And had a chance to be down at the stadium when they won the supporters shield, and then you get a pick, you know, certainly as the number one overall seed, you get to pick the path that you go through. You get to pick that first round opponent. They picked Ventura County. And I think they played a good game against them. I think it was really competitive earlier in the season, and City won in the shootout. It's going to be something that I believe is going to both be a test for the team, get them ready, and keep them sharp. As far as the MLS side goes, obviously this is a big one for City as far as finishing on a good note, going out in front of the fans who all the players and coaches love and know how much the support means. That's big for this team. That's really important. And it's also important, I think, for this team to show that it's ruthless, because RSL is knocking on the door of the playoffs, win and in type situation. It really all comes down to this for Real Salt Lake. We played a weird game and a high scoring game, pretty high scoring game against them in Salt Lake, lost 3-2, had a chance to tie it at the very end, had other chances through the game, probably should have walked out of there with just a draw. I know that's something that stuck with, you know, the team in the immediate aftermath. Mm-hmm. And I think this team is going to come out and do pretty well against them. I think we have shown good signs of growth under Critch. I think we've played well against some pretty good opponents. You know, Austin at the time, at least, was sixth in MLS when we beat them on October 4th.
Awesome sauce.
I think we can definitely do it.
Love it. Thanks, Joey. I look forward to seeing you in the booth on Saturday.
Hey, Jen, see you on Saturday. Let's go City.
All right, go City. Hey, if you missed any part of this City Spotlight, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast section. As Joey talked about, the next and last MLS regular season game for the home team, our City team, is on Saturday at Energizer Park in City 2 on Sunday. Thanks for tuning in to the City Spotlight here on America Sports Voice.